Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Rothenberg with you on a Saturday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. I will do a lot of football today. Rookie mini camps are in full swing, and I guess the one that we're most excited about locally here, or nervous or anxious or angry or whatever the phrase may be, would be Daniel Jones. We'll hear from the Giants rookie quarterback in a couple of moments, and Jordan Renan will join us at 10:45. He's, of course, with the Giants consistently here for 98.7 ESPN, and I heard him on the Kay Show yesterday. And basically what he said is, you know, Jones looked pretty good. We'll hear from him at 10:45, but that's certainly, you know, the worst thing would be if you just watched him and it was, and you don't expect it to be, but like Christian Hackenberg, where it was just unwatchable. He was that bad. You couldn't, even make an excuse for why he should play in a game. So we'll get to the Giants, in a couple of moments. We'll run through the baseball quickly. Islanders fans, I'm sorry. The thing that, and I heard Han yesterday, on the way to one of my kids', baseball games, and I think he's right. The thing that's so frustrating about that end to the Islanders is that when you were done with the Pittsburgh series and you beat up on the Penguins, and how often do you see a team sweep a team and then get swept? That is not exactly what you see every day. But I think the thing that's so frustrating for the Islanders fan is, a week ago or 8 or 9 days ago, if I would have said to you, Islanders and Canes, you would have said, great, I'm all in, right? I mean, you like the matchup. They're a good team. You're a good team. You have home ice advantage. Maybe advantage Islanders. And that game one, I thought, was a real series turning game because they didn't have a lot, Carolina, and they stayed with you, and then they got the lucky bounce off the boards, and they got the goal, and they go up one game none, and then they trail game two, 1-0 into 2, and you come out, and that's the thing, the strength of the Islanders team was they're this great defensive team, and right away, fall behind 2-1, can't catch up, and the thing, again, that would be frustrating to me is I don't look at Carolina and say, that team's just better than the Islanders. Like, I think if you played another best-of-seven series, the Islanders could easily win that. But in this one, the one that mattered, the one that counted, you did not. And that certainly is frustrating. So Islanders season, they got steamrolled last night. They started Grice. He couldn't make it through the second period. And Islanders lose that one. I think it was, what, 5-2. So their season is now done. Great season. Ending certainly very frustrating for the Islanders fans. So Islanders fall. Their season is done. Rangers with a couple of moves this week. They signed a couple of the Russian prospects. They trade for a kid from Long Island. So we'll get back into hockey when we get a little bit closer. But we move on now in the Stanley Cup postseason with none of the locals. I said yesterday, I thought Rick was going to bite my head off. I said, I would say Boston is the favorite to win this whole thing. And he became, I don't want to say incensed, but he was taken aback. My point was, look at Boston sports right now. They've already got in the bank the Super Bowl. Now you're rolling along in the NHL postseason. You're 2-2 in the second round. NBA postseason. Now they did lose last night, trail that series 2-1, but you still give them a really good chance to win that series. So Boston sports, and the Red Sox are playing better. They get a win last night. I think Chris Sale got the win last night. So the Red Sox are playing better as well. So Boston sports, certainly kind of the capital of the sports world. 800-919-3776. You know what's not far behind? And this is terrible, mind you. You know what's not far behind as far as the capital of the sports world? The Eagles. The Phillies. The 76ers. Now, the Flyers are not great, but the Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I would say that the Phillies are the favorite to win this division. And the 76ers are halfway home to a bid in the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's, I mean, if I said to you, what are the two cities that you can't stand the most for sports, you'd probably say Boston and Philadelphia. And those are the two that might be the best in all of sports right now. So we'll get to the Giants in a minute. Yankees, Mets last night. So the Yankees, and this is good. The injury last night is good, but this is good for the Yankees. There's not a ton to talk about. I mean, they're good. They're completely undermanned. They get production from the guy, from their pitching, really. You know? Paxton pitches 3 innings, then you put Holder in, then you go to the bullpen, and they were good enough. You beat the Twins, who are a good baseball team. Sanchez, Torres, right? So Yankees get out of Dodge with another victory. And outside of injuries, now the Paxton knee has to be a concern. You know, they're going to check for structural damage. Apparently, it's been barking for a while. That's the phrase. When something hurts, that's what you say. The Mets showed us that. Talking about DeGrom's elbow, was barking. So apparently, the knee's been barking for a while. And last night, it was just kind of too much, and he couldn't continue. Yankees get the victory anyhow. And then there's the Mets. The offense is not good right now. They've scored two runs in the last three games, and one run in three games that was not produced from a starting pitcher. That's bad. You're back to 500. I think they were 13-13. They were 14-14. They were 15-15. And now they're 16-16. So they're a 500 team. The one positive I'll look and tell you about the Mets right now is that their starting pitching has gotten a little bit better. You know, Matz has pitched fairly well. Again, last night, 5 2/3. He was good. Wheeler looks like he maybe has turned that corner. Vargas is not great, but as the fifth starter has certainly been serviceable. And DeGrom and Syndergaard are coming off really good starts. So even though you're sitting here and you haven't hit and you're 500 and you've, you know, lost three of your last five and you didn't play great against the Reds at home, overall you look at the Mets and the starting pitching maybe, hopefully, is heading in the right direction. And I think the thing that most people want to talk about here is the Giants. And there's still this kind of head-scratching, what the hell did they do mentality surrounding this team. Now, just hearing, and I know it's just the you know, kind of kick them out there right past the sideline and throw the ball and go with other rookies. And, you know, it's not a great test right now. But any news that's good is good news surrounding Daniel Jones. And hearing that he looked legitimate. He looked functional. It didn't look, just these kind of little tidbit news-wise stories has to make you feel a little bit better. And this is what Gettleman has banked on. Gettleman has banked on and his reputation. And really, because nobody cares about Dave Gettleman as a scout of the Buffalo Bills. I'm sorry. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares about Dave Gettleman as a personnel guy with the Giants back in the day. Nobody cares. God knows nobody cares about Gettleman as GM of the Carolina Panthers. Nobody cares. The only thing that anybody here really cares about, now, inside the football community, you might care. If you're a scout, if you're a coach, if you're a pro personnel guy, you may say, boy, Gettleman has had a long, storied, illustrious, wonderful career, which will either end on a high note or a low note as far as being the Giants or the GM. But not the Giants fan. Nobody cares about the other things. The Giants fan, ask him. Ask yourself right now. Do you care that Dave Gettleman was part of the brass that helped Carolina go to the Super Bowl? Does that do anything for you? Do you care? I don't care. Do I care that he was there when Buffalo went to four consecutive Super Bowls as a scout? I don't care. What's the one thing you care about with Dave Gettleman? This pick. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, you'll talk about the Beckham. Yeah, you should have taken Darnold over Barkley. I think most people would agree with that. But the one thing you care about with Dave Gettleman, and the one thing that will really define the Giants organization for the next, I mean, if it's good, 13 to 15 years, if it's bad, 3 to 5, was this pick. He fell in love with him. He scouted him. He stayed for the Senior Bowl. Now, Jim Nagy, the coordinator for the Senior Bowl, who now works at ESPN, I guess he does both, kind of a split proposition, said he looked at it as an unusual thing that Gettleman stayed all the way through. Because usually guys leave for the game. The game is the least important part. They want to watch how the quarterbacks, how the players look all week long in practice, which, mind you, according to sources, Jones did not look very good. But Gettleman stayed and watched those three series and fell head over heels in love. Well, I'll tell you what. If he's right, he gets the last laugh. And we'll sit around and say, my God, Dave Gettleman, what a genius he is and was. And he, much like Ernie Accorsi, will ride off into the sunset with the quarterback being completely in place. And if he's wrong, he will be the laughingstock. If this turns out to be a Christian Hackenberg, or even a little bit better, but not great, a pedestrian quarterback, Dave Gettleman becomes the laughingstock of New York sports. He doesn't ride off into the sunset. He gets pushed off a moving train in the middle of Oklahoma if this is a miss. 800-919-3776. Mets with a loss. Yankees with a win. Islanders are done. You know, we're 10 days away from the draft lottery. Oh, my God. If the Knicks win the draft lottery, I will be to the moon. If the Knicks somehow get Durant and Kyrie and Zion, and I know it's a pipe dream, but you know what? You got to dream, especially as a sports fan. I will go crazy. And I think every Knicks fan would. And then we got the Giants and what they've done with the quarterback situation and the pressure unfairly on the shoulders of Daniel Jones. So we'll hear from Daniel Jones and we'll hear from you.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Monday's supposed to be decent, Tuesday as well, but the weather has not been very kind to us. And if you're a parent of a kid that plays baseball, like I know a lot of you are, you have lost a lot of time out there on the diamond. All right, 800-919-3776. Let me set the table for you again. The running for the roses. The Kentucky Derby. 5 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. So we have a good day all lined up for you. I'll take you till noon. Anita from 12 to 3. Then Grasa from 3 to 5. And then the run for the roses at 5 o'clock. And then we have game three of the Warriors and the Rockets. So good day. And that game is on ABC, channel 7 locally as well. 800-919-3776. Let's hear from Daniel Jones. Giants rookie minicamp going on over at Giants Stadium. And then we'll hear from you guys. Daniel Jones on the opportunity, the great, and this really is a special opportunity. Not a lot of guys get it, that he has here in New York.
The first thing that I've thought with this opportunity is how awesome it is to have a guy like Eli. So I think, you know, keeping that in mind, making sure every day I'm learning from him, but, you know, also focusing on improving myself, I think is a big part of that process. Like I said, it's a huge opportunity to learn, and I'm certainly mindful of that. I'm looking forward to learning.
You cannot listen to him speak and not think of Eli Manning. You can't. I mean, he's just the whole demeanor. Now, I don't know, and we don't know yet, if he's as cool and calm and collected as Eli is in the big moment in a game. But just listening to him, I mean, doesn't he give you the impression that, and maybe he is. I mean, look, they have the same college coach. I'm sure a lot of the same mannerisms are very similar or have been taught by David Cutcliffe. And also, do you know what? The Giants are really banking on him. Because they spoke to him at no end about this quarterback. Said, tell us about him. How good is he going to be? What is he going to be? We want all the information. And it was reported this week that they had, I mean, hours and hours of conversation with Cutcliffe about him. Hopefully it pans out. I understand the trepidation of the Giants fan, though, because I have the very same thing. 800-919-3776. Let's get to the phones. Let's start out with James in Spring Valley. Good morning, James. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, it was a rough night for me last night, and I'm trying to make it well through today. So,
what was so rough?
Well, the Islanders got swept. That's why it was rough.
But come on, there's no way that as an Islanders fan, down 3-0, that you gave them any chance to win last night. Like, you had to already have read them their last rites, no?
Yeah, but I want at least to win one game. I don't want to get swept. No one wants to get swept.
Of course, you think that there are teams out there saying we would love to get swept. Nobody wants to get swept. But when you go down 3-0 and you're on the road for game four, the only teams that ever win a game four are those that are down 3-0 at home. Very rarely you're down 3-0 on the road and you win a game four.
That's true. Now on to the Giants. I think I'm going to be on the cautious side of the Giants. I was not happy with the Daniel Jones pick. I'm sure most Giants fans were. I especially was not. But I have to hold trepidation and just have, at this point, just have to hope and pray that the Giants get it right. And that's the only thing I can say. I like what I'm hearing. I like that Jones looked like a confident quarterback, and that's all I can. And all I can do is just take baby wins, babe. That's all we can do. Just take little wins as we can. See how the rest, see how Daniel Jones pans out, because this draft class will be hedging on how well Daniel Jones makes out. That's the only thing.
This entire era of Giants football, James, yep. Not just this draft class. Next year, the year after, the Gettleman regime, this entire Giants era will boil down to what Daniel Jones turns out to be.
Yeah, and we have to just pray and hope that he turns out confident. That's all we can do, Dave. That's all we can do. Thanks for my call, man.
You got it, James, and feel better. You know, big picture, Islanders, you had a great season, right? I mean, a sensational season. You lost to a hot team. You swept Pittsburgh. You made the playoffs. That's it. When you really take a step back, I know this morning hurts, but when you really take a step back, the Islanders had an incredible year. Edward in Eastchester. Edward, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. It's good to speak with you.
How you doing, Ed?
Good. I just wanted to share with you, I love your passion as a fan, as a Giants fan, because we are similar in certain respects, that I am probably the most passionate Cleveland Browns fan in all of New York. So you can imagine the heat I was taking for several years from my friends.
Several years? Almost exclusively, I would think, the last 15 years. How did you become a passionate Browns fan here?
Oh, well, you know, I grew up watching the greats, Jim Brown and Frank Ryan, Paul Warfield, and really a great organization. And as an Indians fan, I just kind of, moved over to the Browns and had my moment of glory and had been suffering ever since.
All right. So it looks like you actually have some sunlight through the clouds. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, here's the thing. Last year, when the Browns had the number one overall pick, listening to all the greats, all the great draft analysts, and I was all in on Sam Darnold. I thought that's the guy. That's who we should take.
Right.
Then when they picked Baker Mayfield, the huge angst came over my body. I said, "Oh my God, we got Johnny Manziel 0.2." But at the same time, I kept reading about how, although Tyrod Taylor was their starter, I kept reading about what a student of the game that Baker was, how he knew the playbook, how he impressed everybody in practice, and how everybody on that organization were seeing the progress he was making through the first part of the season. So when Tyrod went down with the injury, it was a logical move. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that could be a very strange thing if history repeats itself with the Giants. Eli has had an uncanny history of health.
He's not going to get hurt. He's not going to get hurt. There's no reason to believe he's going to get hurt. At some point, you're going to have to be bad enough that you're going to say, you know what, it's time to make the move. And whether he's okay with it or not, you got to do it.
Yeah, and the thing about Gettleman is, listening to all the heat, and I was talking to my Giants fans about this, if nothing else, you admire that he has the guts to do it. But
if he's bad, I don't admire anything.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, if he stinks, I'd be horrified that he'd go out foolishly all on his own when no one else thinks this kid is worthy of a number six pick. I don't admire a thing about that. If he's good, right. I admire it. If he's bad,
right,
I don't.
Right. Exactly. That's how I was as a Browns fan. I was going to kill Dorsey.
Yeah, but here's the difference. People really loved Baker Mayfield. Like, the Jets loved Baker Mayfield. He went one, but he was not going later than three.
Yes, that's right.
From the sound of it, the Giants were the only team that would consider Daniel Jones that high in the draft.
There's no doubt about it. He could have been taken in the second round.
I don't know about that, but you certainly could, and thanks to the call, certainly could have moved up to 30 and taken him. Well, that's what Schefter reported this week. Now, look, this is what it boils down to. If he's terrific, it does not matter. If you took him 17 and he stunk, you lose. You took him 6, and now you wait and you see. But this idea of, oh, I just love the chutzpah and the guts of Dave Gettleman. If it works, you do. If it fails, then his lasting image as an NFL executive. There is no, well, Gettleman was on the Bills when they were going to 4th Street. Nobody cares. Well, Gettleman captained the ship of a Panthers team that went to a Super Bowl. Nobody cares. He didn't even draft a lot of the players on that team. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl. Why? Cam Newton, he didn't draft him. 800-919-3776. Real quickly, let's hear Daniel Jones on all the criticism that he's facing and that he's received so far.
I think anyone that comes to New York has probably come into a situation where there's more attention than they had previously, but you know, it's all part of it, and like I said, it's my job to make people believe in me, and I you know, I understand that. So, like I said, there's a lot of work to do, and I'm excited to do it.
Just go out there and succeed. I mean, I know it's a pretty big matzo ball there, but just go out there and get it done. If he's good, this city will fall in love with him. And if he's bad, he will be run out of town. Get him and can take him. I'm sorry. I mean, this is what the New York sports fan is. This is a pressure cooker. If you're not able to succeed, then you're useless, especially at the quarterback position. You know, you could try to figure out a way to make Eric Flowers work, even though he was a disaster. But you play him at left tackle, and then you get him in the weight room, and then you work with him all summer, and then you tell us over and over why he's turned the corner and how he's good, and you put him at a left tackle again, and he's a turnstile. And then you have an offseason, and then there's a new regime, and then you put him at right tackle, and it's different, and it's easier, and it's done, and he's terrible again. And then you have no choice but to say goodbye. And that's a tackle. Multiply that by 10 at the quarterback situation. It is unforgiving. Now, first year, if he stinks, yeah, you know what? You can live with that. Eli was bad year one, too. Peyton was bad year one also. Most quarterbacks are not good right away. But here's what you got to imagine. He's going to get some time this year. Hopefully he looks serviceable at least. And then next year, this is his team. And when this is his team, if he's bad next season, Giants fans will be up in arms. 800-919-3776. We'll go around a couple of different things. We'll get into the baseball a little bit. We got Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. 10:45 Renan. 11 o'clock RJ Bell. So there is a lot to do. 800-919-3776. And you know what? The Jets just quietly roll along for now. But here's a little, and I don't think this is a shock. Apparently, inside the Jets locker room, or inside the walls there in Florham Park, not thrilled that Lev Bell doesn't show up. They may say it. That's not the case.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I walked into the studio today, and Ty was not in a good mood. But I think we've gotten you out of that bad
mood,
haven't we?
We've gotten me out of it.
Yeah. But you would agree that you were not in a good mood when I walked in this
room. I wasn't feeling my best.
No.
I was not operating at peak efficacy.
But I'm an uplifting kind of guy.
Yes, you are.
And I saw that you were a little downtrodden, and I went to work.
Well, I mean, I don't like the way you phrased it, but... Well,
I think he had a lot of positivity from me. Than you did.
See, Mish, why is it always about you? Why can't you just, I mean, question. Before I showed up to work this morning, did you have your own time to get him out of the doldrums?
Yeah.
And Ty, when I walked in, were you still in a miserable mood?
Yeah, but I was working my way out of it. Mm-hmm. It was a process.
All right, so let me ask you this. You're interviewed. ABC News, the microphone's in front of your face to say, Ty, if you had to give credit to one person on the job as to why you're no longer miserable, it would go to who?
But see, here's the thing.
There's a time constraint, Ty.
The problem is...
David Muir is interviewing you. His hair is coiffed back. It's gorgeous, right? He looks beautiful. He's
just
got skin tone like nobody's business. It's live. He doesn't want you to say, well, here's the thing.
No, we need context because you just criticized Meech for making it all about her. And then what do? You make it all about you.
Well, because it is all about me. That's my point. That's how Mish could think it's all about her when it's all about me is preposterous.
No, I think it's Mish. I think she helped deliver me from...
Really?
Yeah, from the doldrums,
right,
as you would say.
Okay. All right. Well, then you know what? I was going to read this next read in honor of you, but no longer.
But you're not protesting me. You're protesting the station.
I'm protesting. No, I'm going to still read it. I'm just not reading it in honor of you.
Okay.
I'll now read it in honor of Mish.
That's fine.
Okay. Visit Saratoga, New York, where you can play championship golf, stroll one of America's best main streets, or see a performance under the stars at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. Cheer on the horses at historic Saratoga Racecourse in the afternoon, and then enjoy over 1,700 slot machines and live harness racing at Saratoga Casino Hotel in the evening. All here in your place for summer fun, Saratoga, New York, where everyone wins. Saratoga Tourism and 98.7 ESPN giving you the opportunity to win a two-night stay in beautiful Saratoga Springs, New York, with dinner for two included. Text the keyword Saratoga to 44202 right now for your chance to win. Standard text messaging rates do apply. Again, text Saratoga to 44202 for your chance to win. Find great places to stay and plan your Saratoga vacation today. Learn more at ilovesaratoga.us. 800-919-3776. So B33 tweets to me, and the picture in his Twitter profile is him and his buddies in Giants gear. So Giants fan, wake up. Did Gettleman draft Flowers? No, he didn't. Look at his draft last year. The early returns are very good. Stop being so bleeping negative. Dave Gettleman, B33, also went all in last year and basically told you this is going to be a pretty good team. We expect to go to the postseason. And they went nowhere near. They were 1-7. And they beat all these special backup quarterbacks in the second half of the season. How you can look at last year as anything close to a positive, it just means your head is in the clouds. That's all it means. Oh, this is nice Yankees news. Miguel Andujar has been reinstated from the injured list. So the Yankees start to put this completely hobbled team back together. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
What's going on, Mitch?
Hey, I guess this is going to be the icing on the cake with Mr. Gettleman there.
Cake is either rancid and spoiled and needs to be thrown out with maggots on it, Mitch, or it's a cake that all can enjoy.
We'll see. They got to play this guy, Jones, because next year's draft is going to have 3-4 quarterbacks picking the top 12. So if they don't play him, they're going to pass up on those? He better be a Hall of Famer.
Mitch, he doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. He's got to just be a good quarterback. But you can't take a quarterback in the draft next year.
But then you better play him. So what did he expect?
Well, yeah, I agree. No matter what happens, Mitch, this year, at best he's going to play. At best he's going to play 10 games. Can we say that?
Or so they're tanking for next year then?
Well, no, Mitch. I don't know what you're talking about. At best he's going to play 10 games. So if he plays 10 games and he's not very good, do you think that's completely unusual? I mean, I think the norm is the rookie quarterback goes through tremendous growing pains. Sam Darnold was, I thought, good this year, and he had a ton of moments where he wasn't.
Yeah, but we know he comes from USC, but Daniel Jones from Duke, I think the Giants are thinking of Zion. He wasn't even the top three quarterback in this year's draft.
You could be, Mitch, you could be right. But they're not going to, and here's the thing, and this is why it's frustrating. You can't take a quarterback in next year's draft, and thanks for the call. I mean, that would be ridiculous. The only team to ever move on from a quarterback after year one from a top 10 quarterback was the Cardinals. But that's not the norm. There is no way that you're going to watch Daniel Jones play for 6 or 8 or 10 games and say, he stinks, he's awful, I got to take Tua. I mean, if you're Gettleman, you're foolish. And it can't be Gettleman. Because if Jones stinks and you know within a year of now that Jones is bad, I want Gettleman to take another quarterback? Oh, how foolish would you have to be if you're the Giants? Would they be the dumbest franchise in sports? Change your name to the Browns. Could you imagine that? Daniel Jones stinks. He's the 6th overall pick version of Christian Hackenberg. There's no chance he can succeed in the NFL. Hey, Dave, you know what? I want you to grab us another quarterback in the 2020 draft. See how we can make this one work. No, not going to happen. Frank in North Bergen. Frank, you're on 98.7.
Hey, morning, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Frank.
All I'm going to say is after being a Giants fan for almost 20-something years, I've lived through the Danny Canales. I lived through the Ken Grahams. I even lived through the Dave Browns. Gettleman says he's got, you know, look at my resume. Okay, fair enough. Let's see, you know, if you can do.
Frank, let me ask you a quick question. Let me ask you a quick question. What is his quarterback resume?
I mean, I'm not saying, you know what, I'm not convinced. What I'm saying is, okay, good. If you want to bring that up, go ahead. Let's see if you can apply that here in New York. Go for it. At this point, you know, I lived through the worst quarterback hell in the 90s that you can imagine. So at this point, you know, we already had about what? Since 2014, we've had at least five losing seasons, or maybe four, if I'm not mistaken.
They've lost a lot, yes.
At this point, the team cannot get any worse than it already is.
You say that. You say, just look out for what you say, Frank, and thanks for the phone call. Yeah. You say they can't get any worse. I mean, if you go out there and you stink with a young quarterback, I mean, this year, for me, the level of realistic expectation is low. If I had a Jets-like year this year, I'd be happy. If the Giants played this year and at the end of the year I said, boy, this quarterback looks like he's the real deal for the future, I'd be thrilled. If they won three games and I looked at it and said he's the real deal, I'd be thrilled. So the expectations this year are very low. But don't say it can't get worse. Because every time you say it can't get worse, it finds a way to get worse. And you know what the amazing thing about the call and the belief about Kent Graham and Danny Kanell. Danny Kanell led the Giants to a playoff berth. And outside of a completely bungled onside kick recovery from Chris Callaway, they would have beaten the Vikings in that playoff game. I mean, think about that for a second. You look at this as an era of just awful Giants football. Yet they went to the postseason and were this close from winning a game in the playoffs. And you look at that as just the worst of the worst. Perspective, right? 800-919-3776. Mets and Yankees both in action today. NBA postseason continues. Game. When was, Ty, you know this, you're Mr. NBA on the station, or one of the Mr. NBAs on the station. When was game two of Rockets and Warriors?
Game two of Rockets and Warriors was Tuesday night.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they go from Tuesday to Saturday between games two and three.
Help both teams, though, because James Harden had the eye injury and stuff.
I'm not saying that, of course, teams benefit.
It's a joke, though.
The NBA needed to make it work for them and for the finances that game three was going to be on Wednesday after game two was on Tuesday, they would figure out a way to make it work.
That is correct.
But because they want to make it a primetime Saturday game, which I'm fine with, these teams now have three full days off. Warriors Rockets 8:30. That's tonight here on 98.7 ESPN and on Channel 7 on television. 800-919-3776. So we got Stump Rothenberg coming up in 45 minutes. There was no Stump Rothenberg last week, Ty.
There was not. I was very disappointed.
Why?
Because that's a staple in my Saturday morning.
Well, it's back today. I think the nice thing is you make people miss it, want it, realize how big of a piece it is of their Saturday mornings, and then you bring it back and you appreciate it that much more.
Not when we had been in such a groove, though. We had
all that
momentum.
Yeah, but the week prior, I was not great.
You weren't great, but it was still a phenomenal segment.
No, the week prior, it was bad, Dave.
You know what, Mish?
It was bad.
You're taking credit for my cheering him up from his bad moods. You have an attitude today. You think you're better than everyone. You're poo-pooing what I was 2 weeks ago in Stump Rothenberg. How about 3 weeks ago, Mish? How was I 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago, you were good.
No. Ty, it was not good. It was like Ty Cobb, move over. Rothenberg's coming into the Hall of Fame.
It was
good.
Sensational.
Yes, thank you.
Ty's
adjectives are much stronger than yours, Mish.
2 weeks ago, you were Harold Baines.
Harold Baines was a nice player.
Yeah, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No. Three weeks ago, Sandy Koufax. 2 weeks ago, I don't even think I was Harold Baines, to be honest.
Mike Talkman.
No, I thought better than Mike Talkman. Come on.
We just had a caller who went on for 2 minutes waxing poetic about how great of a host you were. I mean, we can't have that today. We got to get right to the point, right to the question.
Listen, I can't help it if the masses really adore me.
Yeah, but you've got to do a better job of policing the situation. I'm going to screen the calls.
Calm yourself down. All right, 800-919. See, now we let people in behind the curtain of what I have to deal with. Do you see, guys, what is going on behind the scenes? I do not have people working for me. I have people pulling in the other direction as I try to pull us down this road.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Now we take your calls at 1-800-919-3776 on the Yankees, who just continue to roll along. I mean, all you Aaron Boone is terrible, Brian Cashman is you know, incapable people. Where are you now, huh? Mets can't score. All of a sudden, they've reverted to the 2018 offensive woes of the New York Mets. They were blanked two nights ago. Scored one run yesterday, and we're excited by that because Syndergaard was so good and they won 1-0. But still, one run. But then you think, well, it's a getaway game, and you know what? Not the end of the world. It's an afternoon game, not your best lineup. No Pete Alonso. We win the game. Syndergaard's great. He hits the home run. Okay. And last night, same thing. I mean, one run. And by the way, how good is Josh Hader? I mean, my God. And that's the thing. You find out, I mean, you're not following the Brewers every day, day in and day out that closely, that he hadn't pitched in like 3 days, so you know he's available for two innings. So when you're trailing 3-1 at the end of seven, you're going to get a dose of two innings of him. And he is as nasty as anybody. So he comes in, Mets get first and second, nobody out. And, you know, it's funny, the Mets and so many teams treat their closers with kid gloves. They go, God, throw 37 pitches, we don't care. Two innings, 37 pitches, first and second, nobody out in the ninth inning. Conforto with a great double into the gap. Ramos walks, first and second, nobody out. Out, out, out. Mets lose again. So the offense continues to struggle. They scored in the first inning last night. So that's eight innings of nothing. And Brandon Woodruff, not like you went up against, you know, Juan Marichal last night. 800-919-3776. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to John in the Bronx. John, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for allowing me to be on the show this morning.
You're very welcome, John.
First time getting on here. I listen to you guys in the morning and in the afternoon. I think you guys keep it real. You guys don't seem to have any bias for any particular team, but I'd really like to make a statement that I think that no one is speaking about, even though they may feel that way. And I believe that the Giants pick, and I don't expect you to agree with me, but picking Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins, considering Haskins' stats in just 1 year compared to Jones over 3 years, they're not even comparable. I truly think, and I'm going to say it, is that...
Yeah, you're going to go there, huh?
The Giants pick, I believe, of Jones was a racist pick. Dave Gettleman stated before when they were looking for the quarterback and Haskins was on the radar.
So, John, let me just ask you a question. And I don't agree with you, but you're entitled to your opinion. You really believe that the organization looked at this and said the better player is Dwayne Haskins. He gives us a better chance of winning football games for the next 13 years. But because we won't take an African-American quarterback, we're going to take the lesser of the two.
Absolutely.
You really believe that?
Absolutely. They said they're looking for someone who can be the face of the organization for several years. And they pretty much asked Dave Gettleman that after.
But, John, this is a strong accusation to make with really nothing to back you up.
Listen, I can look at the Giants' track record over the years. When have they had or even gave any consideration to a black quarterback? Geno Smith was there for one game and practically got ran out of there.
Well, Geno Smith stinks, John. Should they start a black quarterback who stinks just to prove a point?
They didn't. Eli Manning stinks and has been.
Geno Smith, I don't think, would be allowed to carry Eli Manning's bags, John.
Been able to stink up Giant Stadium for years and years and years. It's a total double standard when it comes, you know, to white quarterbacks and black quarterbacks. It's a shorter leash, and there's plenty of people who feel the same exact way. If Dwayne has.
I know Chris Carter does. Chris Carter agrees with you. I think that's an inflammatory statement to make with absolutely zero shred of evidence of proof.
If Dwayne Haskins were a white male 1 year at Ohio State with his stats, he'd be the number one.
You know that? You haven't heard forever, John. You haven't heard forever that teams are scared to death of quarterbacks that are successful in only 1 year?
So you take a quarterback who basically looks like the poster boy for Ralph Lauren, with his very poor stats. He wasn't even rated one of the top 10 quarterbacks. And Duke,
I'll stop it. He was rated one of the top 10 quarterbacks. Look, John, your point is noted. I'm not getting into a racial debate with you right now. If the Giants, the Giants didn't like Haskins. They fell in love with Jones. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit here and believe that the Giants took Daniel Jones because he's white and looked and said, boy, Dwayne Haskins is bigger, stronger, better, faster, more athletic, better college career, projects better to the NFL, but we're not going to take him because he's black. I'm not going to believe that. You have no shred of evidence that that's true. And to sit here and spout about Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith started one game with the Giants, and he should have started none. And if you're picking up the phone to say, oh, I want in on this, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because I don't believe it, and there's no shred of evidence or proof about it, and it's a dangerous game to play. So if you're picking up the phone and calling and want to get into the racial Giants quarterback conversation, call a different show. Ed in Westwood. Ed, you're on 98.7.
Dave, how's it going, man? Love the show.
What's up, Ed?
I'm doing good. Man, we need to pump the brakes on Daniel Jones, okay? Now, Gettleman, I don't know. I mean, I was enraged as well when they made that pick, but let's see what happens. We got to give the kid time. Now, with the racial thing, that's a little bit you don't want to cross that line, especially in a place of New York that's such a melting pot of so many different races and cultures. You don't want to cross the line, especially this day and age. So we need to pump the brakes. We need to relax. Let's see what he does. And also, let's see what we can surround around him and see how he develops into a better quarterback of the future.
Well, that's what it's going to boil down to. But if you look at it, I mean, the offensive line is much, much better. The running back we know is elite. You've got a tight end that they really like who certainly is a weapon there. And the receivers as well. I mean, it's not Odell Beckham, but it's certainly not shabby at the receiving core.
Exactly. I mean, New York sports, we've been, you mentioned earlier about Boston and Philly, how they're functional, they're in the postseason, they're relevant. We haven't been relevant in mostly all of our sports, basketball, baseball as well. But hopefully this makes a difference, and also I'm hoping and praying as well on May 14th we get that first pick and we pick up Zion, because I want to see my Knicks do well in the future to come. I want to see them win a championship in my lifetime.
Yeah, I know. I would like that. You don't consider this. So they won in June of 73, Ed, and I was born in March of 73. You don't consider that a title for me, right?
Wow. I mean,
right? Yeah. I mean, I was 3 months old. I didn't get to enjoy in the title.
Yes, you're all right, Dave, but mind you, you grew up, you were there during the 90s when we had Ewing and then Starks and all those heavy hitters, but obviously Michael Jordan dominated that era.
Goddamn Michael Jordan. You know what the funny thing is? Thanks for the call, Ed. The Knicks at that time never got the credit they deserved. Ever. Oh, they play a boring brand of basketball. They're a bunch of punks. They're physical. They'll knock you through the hardwood, but it's not fun. Ewing can never win, blah, blah, blah. It was such a negative connotation. And now you look at it, what do we know? Amazingly, like 30 years later. Oh, that was what an era of Knicks basketball that was. People, I mean, you liked it because they were your team, but the city was not in love with that team the way they should have been. And now when you, in retrospect, oh, Ewing and Starks and Mason and Oakley and McDaniel and Derek Harper, and just on and on and on. But at that time, they were not appreciated like they should have been. 800-919-3776. So, Ty, here's my question for you.
Shoot.
At what point did the call start to just inundate you for Stump Rothenberg?
Oh, they've already begun. But the problem is we're still talking Giants, so I can't jam up my lines until we get closer to 10:30.
But people already want in.
Yes, of course.
And you're holding strong.
I'm holding strong, but this is what happens when you take vacations in the middle of, in the middle of April.
I took a day off.
Yeah, it's a vacation.
Did I tell you what I did?
You did tell me, but I don't think the audience knows.
So Alex, very good lacrosse player, 8 years old, really good, had a big game And he would, Dad, are you going to go? I said, I can't go. I'm going to be working. Dad, can you go? I can't go. I'm going to be working. And secretly, unbeknownst to him, I took the day to go to his lacrosse game. So he's about to take the field. And I walk up. I was like, hey, Alex. Dad, you made it. So you can look down on me for that? Mish, even you appreciates that.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So Ty's giving me a hard time for taking the day. But come on. That's big time parenting stuff. That's parenting 101.
What time was the game?
The game was at 9:45
a.m.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So that's a legitimate excuse. Can't knock you for that.
So you're off giving me a hard time for that.
Yes, I'm off that.
And how about this as a parental moment? So they had a game on the road last night. I had to rush to the game, and I was like 4 minutes late. I pull up, I park, I actually open my door, I smash into a woman's door, and she's like, you hit my car. I was like, yeah, it'd be fine. Run to the field. As I'm approaching the field, his team comes down. Pass, pass, pass to Alex. Shot score.
Nice.
Yes.
Let's take it a step further, though.
Yes.
In this parenting 101.
Okay.
So you skipped out on your radio show that you host every Saturday morning from 9 to noon.
Correct.
Giant game on a Saturday. Are you skipping that for your son, you know, to watch your son play lacrosse or baseball or whatever sport he's engaged in?
So Stump Rothenberg coming your way 10:30.
There we go.
Jordan Renan 10:45, RJ Bell 11. No, I would not. Priorities, Ty.
So where does that fall on the parenting 101 tree?
That would be in the things not to do section.
Okay.
But here's the beauty of me. I make up for it non-football season.
So you just get a chance to do all of that for what, 6-7 months out the year, and then you make up
eight,
for it.
I would say almost eight. I am an unbelievable dad from February through the end of August. September through January, Monday to Saturday, incredible. Sunday leaves a little bit to be desired.
You're proud of this, by the way. You're proud.
It is what it is. This is who I am. You know this. Isn't that the thing that people always say? Is he really like this? You tell them, is he really like this?
Yeah, you're very authentic. This isn't a gimmick. It's not a game. It's who you are. But it doesn't make it right.
Listen, this is who it is. I'm not even exaggerating with you. I think if I went to do something else and all the football was going on, I would have some kind of either a mental breakdown or a physical disorder.
I think you're over exaggerating.
I'm not. Like I could potentially have a panic attack, maybe a stroke, a cerebral hemorrhage, like something really, really bad would happen.
Now I want you to live a long and healthy life, so I'm not wishing death upon you. I want to preface it by saying this.
But
whenever you do die, I am hoping that your family or whoever's in charge of the arrangements, they have this funeral on a Sunday at 1 while the Giants are playing a big playoff game.
Here, two things on
that.
They
need to do it. They need to do it.
Here's the thing. First of all, they'd never do it. Ever. Secondly, if they did, I hope no one would come to my funeral. Do your own thing. Because my funeral on that football Sunday pales in comparison to what's going on the field.
At least we know Eli Manning will still be behind center.
I have no doubt about that. And I could live a long, fruitful life and that'll still be the case.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, here we go. We took the week off last week. We're back. There's confidence. There's not an air of arrogance. It's just a confident feeling around Stump Rothenberg today. One question, one answer, rapid fire. People always go, you don't answer quick. I mean, it takes me a second to run through my mental Rolodex. I don't have every answer at the tip of my tongue, but we go as quickly as we can. Last time out, the Harold Baines. I don't even think it was that good, Ty, to be honest. I think Harold Baines was... You don't give Harold Baines... You're insulting Harold Baines with... You know what it was last time? I think last time it was the, it was the Ray Ordonez of Stump Rothenberg.
Ray Ordonez.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. It was fine. You don't look back and say that was a special time. It was what it is.
So let's get back on track today.
What?
Let's get back on track today.
Now, 3 weeks ago.
Phenomenal.
Was the Cal Ripken of Stump Rothenberg's. Let's get back on track today. Ty, would you like to start us out?
Let's do it. So Thursday at Citi Field, we saw something in baseball that had only happened 7 times in Major League history, and that is a pitcher homered and threw a 1-0 shutout. It was the first time done by a Met. I'm talking about Noah Syndergaard, who did it against the Reds. Can you tell me the last time a pitcher accomplished such a feat, a home run and throwing a 1-0 shutout?
So you want to know, now here's the thing. I believe it was 1983.
That is correct.
And I believe it was Bob Welch of the LA Dodgers.
That is also correct.
Yeah. Amish? Here's the thing. I get one right. There's this delayed reaction from Amish with the applause. I get it wrong, and before the wrong answer is off my tongue, I'm getting, Be fair, Amish. That's 1-0 me. Let's go to Monty in the Bronx. It's screened. It's processed. Monty, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
The only player to lead the NBA in assists and scoring in a single season.
Ooh, that's a nice question. I'm thinking Oscar Robertson, but it's probably not because that's going to be too easy. Let me think of assists. So it's not. Is it Robertson? Chamberlain Robertson? It's not going to be Chamberlain. Could it be Chamberlain? I'm gonna say Oscar Robertson.
Tiny Archibald.
Archibald. See, that buzzer was just oozing, ready to go. All right, 800-919-3776. So we're one and one. And that's not a bad question. To be fair, I got it wrong. Good, solid question. Let's go Anthony Rockland. Anthony, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's going on?
Not all much, right, Anthony. Now, before you start, what category will you be going to?
This is Dallas Giants. You know I'm a big Cowboys fan.
So you're going to the Dallas Giants bank. All right, go ahead.
In 2007, divisional round, Giants-Cowboys, Cowboys receiver on 3rd and 10 with less than 2 minutes to play?
Patrick Creighton.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. That's a layup. The great. I mean, I almost bought a Patrick Creighton jersey after he dropped that 3rd and 10. Would have scored a touchdown. Giants would have lost. New England would have won the Super Bowl. But no. 2-1. Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you, buddy? Where are you going? You're not going with sports, are you?
No.
Good. You go. I'm going to tell you where you're going. You're going movies.
I am.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In the Michael J. Fox classic Teen Wolf.
Yes.
What was his high school's mascot?
Oh, God.
It's on his basketball jersey.
And he went to Beacon High School, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Beacon Beavers.
There you go, buddy.
There we go. All right, that's a good one. That's what we call 3-1, Ty. You would say this is a hell of a start, wouldn't you?
You're off to a really good start. 3-1, not bad.
3-1 is pretty damn good.
I mean, the one concerns me a little bit, but...
Which one?
Just the getting one wrong.
I'll stop it.
I expect perfection.
You're not going to get perfection.
You had 2 weeks off to prepare. I don't want to hear any
excuses. I've been preparing my whole life is preparation. All right, 800-919-3776. The man who wept last week when he found out I wasn't doing Stump Rothenberg, Spike in Jersey. Good morning, Spike.
Thank you for that week to regroup. The most minutes ever played in an NBA game is by whom and how many minutes?
Most minutes played in an NBA game. Dale Ellis, 69.
Bingo.
Thank you. Followed by Ty. Who? Former Nick. Xavier McDaniel, 68 minutes. Sleepy Floyd, former Hoya, also up there, I believe. 800-919-3776. 3776. It's so easy sometimes. Let's go to Mitchell in Newark. Mitchell, you, my friend, are on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
What's up, Mitch? Where are you going?
Music.
You're going to get me, but go ahead.
What was the name of the studio musicians at Motown?
Have you asked me this question before?
I never got in to ask you that question.
No. I have no semblance of an idea.
Okay, the name of the studio musicians were the Funk Brothers. They even made a documentary out about them.
Okay. All right, there you go. 4-2. He beats me. If you want my Achilles, you'll go music. It's, and certainly the Motown era. Or any era, really, for that matter. 800-919-3776. Still pretty good. Mike in Connecticut. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Mikey.
All right. What movie?
And not no salutations, no greetings, no how you doing. Thanks for having me on.
I thought you wanted, get to the question.
Go ahead, get to the question.
All right. What movie did Jack Black, Richard Gere, and Bruce Willis all play in?
Jack Black. Who else?
Richard Gere and Bruce Willis.
I don't know anything about Richard Gere.
You want the year it was made?
No, that won't do anything for me. It's an awful movie, isn't it?
No, I actually watched it the other day, and that's why I came up with this question.
I can think of the name. I can't think of the name, but I can think of, like, Bruce Willis has that weird haircut. Oh God, it's not the Jackal, is it?
Oh my God, come on!
That is, or it's not.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's right. That's a terrible movie, by the way. 800-919-3776. And you see, by the way, Michelle with nothing. With nothing. Mish, you can't give me the applause?
Sorry, we have a special guest, actually, that wants to join Stomp Rothenberg.
Well, who is this special guest?
He's up. Say hello.
It's Michael K., Dave.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I can't believe how quickly you got Dale Ellis. That was impressive.
You were impressed by that, weren't you?
I'm impressed by you in general. You know that.
Are you on your way to the ballpark in the Bronx right now?
Yes. I just watched my children play their first T-ball game, and now I'm heading to the stadium.
T-ball is quite an experience, isn't it?
It is quite special.
Would you like to participate in Stump Rothenberg?
If you allow me to. I know it's your thing.
I mean, Michael, come on. You're the voice of the station. I would love it if you would participate.
1976. Chris Chambliss hits a home run off of Mark Littell to send the Yankees to the World Series for the first time since 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Dave, tell me who was on deck.
I'm not going to know this.
I'll give you a hint.
No, I don't want a hint.
Okay.
But I'm not going to know it.
Wi-Fi's not working today, I see.
No, Wi-Fi's down. I'm gonna go... I don't know. I'm going to go Mickey Rivers.
I'm so sorry. You can play the buzzer, me.
Yeah. So the buzzer's always ready to go, but when I get it right, it's very rarely effective. What's the answer?
Sandy Alomar.
Really?
It's a great question.
That is a nice question. Now, have you had that in the mental Rolodex your entire life and you just busted it out right now?
I whenever I'm in, like, any trivia contest, I use that. Nobody seems to know it was Sandy Alomar. There was, like, a switch out or something. He obviously wasn't in the starting lineup, but he was on deck.
That's a great question. I like
that
question.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Dave.
Did you just call me Bill?
Yeah, but I don't know why I did.
Michael, I'll talk to you soon. Have a great call of the Yankees game today.
Love you, Dave.
I love you, Michael. Thank you. All right, well, let's get right back to it. 800-919-3776. You know what the beauty of a question like that is? Is that is something now that once you've heard it, you will never forget. You will always remember Sandy Alomar was on deck when Chris Chambliss hit the home run in 1976. tie, right? That's now forever locked in.
Yes, that was incredible. Shout out to Michael Kay for joining the program.
What do you, how much of a shout out are you going to give? I mean, he's a friend of mine. He's a fan of the station, obviously.
And he's getting ready
to participate in what is a red hot segment. He appreciates it.
Getting ready for a big Yankee game today, though. And he still has time to call into your show.
Because he's a man of many talents. All right, I want to finish on a high note. So let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Mike?
Yeah, I got a question for you, a movie question.
Go ahead.
What act preceded Bye Bye Birdie on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Ty, you're really... I have no idea. I have no idea. Ty, really? I mean, let's move on. I don't even want the buzzer for that, Mish. I mean, Ty, really? I mean, that's a horrendous question.
I thought it was a good question.
Stop it. Stop it. You're better than that. Let's go to Ronnie in the car. See, you're bringing this to a slow grind now, Ty. That's on you. Go ahead, Ronnie. You're up.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I got a movie question for you. In the classic movie, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's last name.
Dorothy's last name. Do I know that? Dorothy Gale.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think overall pretty good, right? Ty, you would agree?
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You always skip me now.
Well, because it's enough for you to handle the buzzes and the applause. Now, to throw the question in with you becomes a lot.
No, it doesn't.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to get it wrong, and then I'm going to feel badly at the end of the week. But, all right, go ahead.
Well, it's music. This should be your wheelhouse.
Now, you know I know nothing about music.
Well, Dave, tell me, what was the first band to have an album advertised on a billboard?
God. An album advertised on a billboard. All right, so let's think now. We're gonna go. I don't even know what era this could be in. It's probably L.A., right?
No hints.
See, I knew I wasn't gonna get this, and it was gonna end on a bad note. I don't. I'm gonna say it's the 70s, 60s, or 70s. Led Zeppelin, I'm thinking out loud here now, okay? I'm not giving you an, I'll tell you when I'm gonna give you my answer. I'm thinking Led Zeppelin, I'm thinking The Who, I'm thinking The Doors, that's the kind of band I'm thinking. And you're gonna tell me nothing I know. I'm gonna say LA.
I mean, you're in the right direction.
I'm in the right direction.
Yes.
Alright, I'm gonna go with The Doors in Los Angeles. How about that? Was it L.A.?
I don't know if it was L.A., but it was The Doors.
That's a good job by me.
Phenomenal job by you.
That's deductive reasoning, and that's a good job by me. All right. 800-919-3776. By the way, I've been lovingly getting tweeted about Michael Kay joining Stump Rothenberg and getting me and how it's cool that he joined in. So that certainly was that was fun. And that's a good question. See, I don't mind getting stumped on a good question, but when you ask me about Bye Bye Birdie on the Ed Sullivan Show, Ty, that's on you.
It's on me, Bill. I'll take the responsibility.
That's funny. All right. Jordan Renan will tell us how Daniel Jones looked yesterday at Giants rookie minicamp. Tell me you don't want to hear this. Here's your opportunity next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
RJ Bell, live from Sin City out west. Good morning, RJ Bell.
Well, you know, I was up a little late last night, so it's going to be a little gruff, a little like the taint of the street.
You're going to be great. You put this negative spin on it. You're always good. You always have great information. We took a week off, so we have a lot, double the amount of stuff to get into.
Now,
I'm
let
ready
me,
to roll.
Let
you
me
ready
start,
to roll?
Dave, let me start with something, though.
Okay.
So you got a good producing team, board ops, far as I can tell.
They're excellent.
You'd be shocked at the number of people can't dial up an ISDN line in radio. It's like it takes them 7 tries. Your guys, right on it. I had an emotional roller coaster, though, right before the show.
Just this morning, out in Vegas, emotional roller coaster.
Just like 5 minutes ago, because the producer I was talking to said, hey, you just settle down. You might be a little late. He's talking to Jordan. And I thought, okay, I can deal with this. If
Michael, you thought I was talking to Michael Jordan?
Yeah, if Michael Jordan's on right before me, if somehow, some way, I don't start till 11:02 or whatever, I can deal with it. It feels appropriate. But it was who?
You know, I'm not going to let you do this. It was our Giants beat reporter, Jordan Renan.
Yeah, that did not feel appropriate. Just saying.
So, okay, let me follow this up with, like, what are you looking for now? Is this like a Seinfeld airing of the grievances?
No,
are you looking for a public apology? Like, where do we take this now?
You know, there's a great, I know there's all kind of, you know, PC issues with Louis C.K. these days, and I think, you know, justifiably in some ways, but his TV show was as good as any show, comedy for sure, since Seinfeld. And at one point, David Lynch did a 3-episode guest star as an old-time Hollywood guy, media guy, and he said, the most important thing in media is look them in the eye, speak from the heart. So I had, from my heart, I had to explain that emotional roller coaster. I'm not sure why I had to, but I did.
All right. So immediately your first thought was he's got Michael Jordan. Then you thought he's got some other guy, Jordan. It was the other guy, Jordan. All I can do is just hang my head in shame and apologize and hope that we can do
listen,
better in the future.
Here's the thing. People tell you things without even saying words. And, you know, I'll try to forget about it, but no big deal.
All right, 800-919-3776. For the hour, it's Rothenberg and RJ Bell with you on 98.7 ESPN. We're going to get all into this Vegas stuff. Here's one, and I don't even know if you know about it. The over-under for Daniel Jones starts his rookie year. You know what it is?
No, but
what would
boy,
you think it would be?
All right,
yeah, I mean, you're the guy that sets the line, sets the numbers. What do you think it would be? What should it be?
We don't have that prop with the Associated Press that we do the numbers for. Let me think about this just for 10 seconds. I'm going to go over under 2.5.
Wow. You know what it is?
What?
7.5.
Oh, come on.
7.5?
I love the under.
You love the under?
Love it.
You think the Giants are going to ride with Eli Manning a ton, huh?
I actually had a conspiracy theory on my show about this. Let me throw it at you, Dave. I think this might be a next level. So let me ask, what was your show's reaction to the draft?
I thought that as far as the Giants are concerned, and the Jones pick specifically, I think we were all very underwhelmed and very frustrated at taking Jones at 6. I mean, my take, and I think we all agree on Humpty, Canty, and Rothy, is that if you love a quarterback, you take him. It doesn't matter where you take him. But the public consensus about Daniel Jones was that he was not the best quarterback in this draft. He was probably not the second best quarterback in this draft. And the Giants could have gotten an elite player and Daniel Jones later on in the draft. So we were all, at a minimum, frustrated by the selection from the Giants.
So before the draft, what was your assessment personally of the Giants GM?
I think he sounds ridiculous, and I am completely underwhelmed by him. And if I go back to last year and look at all the, you know, the moves that he made that did not pan out, and last year's draft, where I thought they should have taken Sam Darnold, took Saquon Barkley, I was already underwhelmed, and that goes to the nth degree now after the draft.
Okay, here's the conspiracy theory. Why did the prior GM get fired for the Giants?
Because he was brutal.
But what, if you could say what was one action that the most contributed, what would you say?
I mean, there's a bunch. He missed the draft. He was terrible in the draft.
Wouldn't you say benching Eli?
Well, I don't know if that's entirely on his shoulders, but it certainly wasn't a good look.
Okay. So if you look at QBR, which is ESPN's quarterback rating, mm-hmm. So, I mean, how can we do better? Eli's quarterback rating last year was better than the year before and better than the year before. So last 3 years, Eli's best year was last year. So I don't think, like, this idea that, oh, let's let Eli play out the string 6, 7, 8 games and then we've got our rookie ready. I think that this quarterback was taken because this quarterback is a project. I mean, you could make the case this is a, you know, if he started the first game in year three, it wouldn't be horrible.
Then here's the question for you. Why in the world would you take a quarterback if you consider him to be a project and think that Eli Manning, age not even involved, still has time left?
Because I think and I'm not saying this is true, but if you believe the project has the biggest upside and you believe that Eli's got, let's say, 2 good years left, wouldn't it make sense to take the guy who will, for the next, let's say, you know, 15 years after year three? You know, remember, Aaron Rodgers sat for how long?
Yeah, but that was a different era. You can't.
Well, I mean, Mahomes sat last year.
He sat for 1 year. But yeah. But here's the thing, RJ. What did the Chiefs do with Mahomes sitting? They went to the playoffs. If the Giants are 11-5 and Eli Manning is playing good football, then by all means, you sit Daniel Jones. But if the
I think you're reversing this, because the question is it valid to pick a quarterback without planning in the first round, without planning to start him in year one? And it seems like that Mahomes proved it was.
No, I don't agree with you. I completely, and I'll tell you why. And you know I love you, but I think you could. I think the illness has gotten into the brain a little bit. RJ, Mahomes was on a team that won 11 games and went to the postseason.
It doesn't change the fact that a first round pick was used, and it didn't. And that pick contributed almost nothing, though he did start, I think it was week 17.
Yeah, and he beat the Broncos and he looked good, but that's not the point. The point is that how can you keep starting Eli Manning if you're 3-6?
Well, the question is it his fault?
But don't you want to see the young kid?
Let me ask you this. You got your finger on the pulse of New York sports fans as well as anyone. What do you think if we did a Twitter poll that was legitimate, let's say, you really got 1,000 Giants fans.
Okay.
What's the split? Eli, yes, we want Eli to start next year, or no, we don't.
Ty, are you listening to this right now?
Yes.
My producer. Can you put that poll up?
Okay.
Right?
I will.
Phrase it exactly the way RJ wants it. RJ, tell him exactly how you want it to be phrased. We need to get 1,000 answers for it to be valid, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good number.
That's a great number. All right. So what is the exact question?
I mean, let's build it together. My thought would be, would you prefer, would you hope that Eli starts a majority of games next year, or do you hope the other quarterback does?
I guess you got to clarify what majority is.
Well, I guess, is there an over-under number? Would you be okay with
maybe just say more games?
How about this? Who do you want to start more games for the Giants in 2019?
Yes.
Eli Manning or Daniel Jones?
That's it.
There you go. I mean, this is what happens. You put these two minds together and
oh my gosh.
It's exceptional.
It really is.
I mean, Stephen Hawking has nothing on us.
I think now that he's passed away, I think we got him.
When he was living, he did.
I mean, maybe 3 or 4 days after he died, it was still close, but
yeah, for a while.
But here's, and I apologize, I forget, what's the GM's name for the Giants?
Dave Gettleman.
Gettleman. If I'm right, and Eli starts, most of the games this year and most of the games next year, and that's what I predict, then hasn't Gettleman pulled what the Sixers did with trust the process? What really was trust the process? It was defer your judgment to some point years down the road, because if you judge me now, you're being foolish. That was why he had to come up, Hanky, with that phrase, right? Which is a great phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think that's what is going on here. If you take a quarterback,
I don't buy it. I don't know what. So, and we got to take a break, and I got to do a quick read. But here's the question that I would have. Why in the world, they love Eli Manning, we know that. They look at him as like an extension of the Mara family. He's Giants through and through. Wouldn't you want to take that sixth pick and draft the best player that helps Eli Manning become better now and not think about 3 or 4, 8 or 10 or 12 years from now?
We're not talking 8 or 12, but wouldn't you say the same thing about Kansas City with Mahomes the year they had Smith and went to the playoffs last year?
No, because they went to the playoffs.
Yeah, but they didn't win the Super Bowl.
But if the Giants are 11-5, RJ, if the Giants go 11-5, no one will be clamoring for Daniel Jones. If the Giants are 2-7, you're going to have people screaming from the rooftops that they want this kid immediately.
10 seconds is, I think the difference between decent teams and really good teams is they draft for 2 or 3 years ahead instead of drafting for the need they have that moment. But all I know is this, if he's able to pull this off, that means he can't get fired until 3 more years. You got to give Eli 2 more years.
Oh, God. This conversation is just, it's painful for me, because if they go with 2 more years with Eli Manning, then this franchise, they deserve what they get.
Mark the tape.
Get the poll up there. Visit Saratoga, New York, where you can play championship golf, stroll one of America's best main streets, or see a performance under the stars of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. Cheer on the horses at the historic Saratoga Racecourse in the afternoon, and then enjoy over 1,700 slot machines and live harness racing at Saratoga Casino Hotel in the evening. It's all here in your place for summer fun. Saratoga, New York, where everyone wins. Saratoga Tourism and 98.7 ESPN are giving you the opportunity to win a 2-night stay in beautiful Saratoga Springs, New York, with dinner for two included. Text the keyword Saratoga to 44202 right now for your chance to win. Standard text messaging rates do apply. Again, text Saratoga to 44202 for your chance to win. Find great places to stay and plan your Saratoga vacation today. Learn more at ilovesaratoga.us. RJ, people, and I'm not exaggerating, come up to me all the time. I love the segment with RJ. They missed it tremendously last week. And this week, just to show you, phone lines are as full as they could possibly be. People want in.
Listen, if you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere.
Can I ask you a somewhat personal question?
Absolutely.
What does the RJ stand for?
It's Randall James.
You know, here's an interesting thing. I believe
that is correct. That, Dave.
We have an RJ that works at the station as well, RJ Santillo. I think he might have the same name.
That's correct, Dave.
Wow.
He does, right?
The same exact name.
That is bizarre.
Wow.
Now, you're not related in any way to our RJ, are you?
I mean, just to let you know, the first name and middle name, there's really, it's not, you're not related because two guys are named Jim. Hey, I know a Jim. You related?
You're funny. That was very well done. I mean, I was trying to have a little fun, and you had to take it there, but that's fine. All right.
It's all about the timing, Dave.
No, your timing is impeccable. You know the comic Stephen Wright?
Oh, I love Wright.
Yeah.
Every time he comes out to Vegas, he usually plays the Orleans. The wife and I go. Just he gets up there and does those one-liners for 70 minutes.
How old is Stephen Wright at this point?
You know, my gut is 65, maybe?
At least, right?
Yeah.
At least. All right, so I'm going to tell you, I have tweeted this. I don't know if you saw this on your Twitter timeline. I said, who do you want to see start more games for the Giants this year? That's the poll. I put it up about 3 minutes ago. Guess how many votes it has right now?
3 minutes ago. I mean, if it's got 300 votes, I'd be impressed.
Not yet. It's got 190 votes in about 3 minutes.
And that's from your account.
That's from my account. So if you want to retweet it, that would be great. ESPN has retweeted it. It's running through. Daniel Jones, at this moment, now we're not at the 1,000, which we want to get to, is leading 61% to 39%.
So, interesting.
Yeah, we'll see who winds up with the more votes of these two. Now, I also have to tell you about this. 98.7 ESPN's Bash for Cash presented by PC Richard & Son. Here's what we're going to do. And we're going to do this later with you, RJ. We're going to take one qualifier every game day all season long. In today's show, we're going to select one listener to pick either today's NL game against Milwaukee or today's AL game against Minnesota. You're going to be the first caller at 800-919-3776 when you hear this very sound.
Bash for Cash. See ya!
First caller, you're qualified. What do you win? Great question. Automatically, a $50 gift card to PC Richard & Son. Now, give us the player you think is going to hit that home run and in which inning for a chance to win up to $1,000 cash. All from PC Richard & Son, the company you can trust since way back in 1909, and the station with the most extensive Yankees coverage. Us, right here on 98.7 ESPN. 235 votes, RJ, 60% leaning towards Daniel Jones.
So how many Twitter followers do you have, Dave?
Not as many as you. I have, I'm going to give you the exact number, 43,700 and something.
Well, listen, you got two ways you can think about me having 183,000. You could think, oh my God, I'm envious. You know, I got this gigantic platform.
43,774 is your exact number.
Yeah. So on the other hand, you could think, hey, RJ and I partner on Saturday. His successes are my successes. By the way, at RJ in Vegas.
I love the plug.
Well, I mean, if you don't do it, I got to do it.
At RJ in Vegas. I do it all the time. I think
exactly.
It's one of the staples of what we do. One of the staples of what we do. All right, so 59%, 41% as Eli Manning slowly climbs back into this competition.
But,
you know, we have to talk about.
Dave, I got to wonder, though. We don't know if the respondents are Giants fans.
Yeah, but who cares?
Well, isn't that, like, if you're making decisions, you're...
I feel like you're backtracking because you look at it and you think you might lose here.
I mean, what I'm saying is, would you agree, and I know you're sort of contrarian, would you agree that if you're making a decision with the public in mind as a football team, NFL team, you're worried about what your fans think, not general NFL fans.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. So my guess is if there was some kind of loyalty test to vote, you had to be a real Giants fan, it'd be more, wouldn't you agree if you took random NFL fans in New York City versus Giants fans, the Giants fans are going to be more pro Eli.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I also have to think that most people that are answering this question are Giants fans. If it's saying, who do you want to see start more games, you think the Jets fan has any caring about who the Giants are going to start a quarterback?
I mean, with the small amount of followers you have, I think they're very dedicated.
I mean, I would say 80% of my followers are Giants fans anyway.
All right. That would be, you know,
delicious
that better.
If you would tweet something like this out to
you
your followers.
I'm going to juice you up a little bit. I'm going to give you a retweet.
I think you should. And now you know what you could also do. You could retweet it with a comment.
Yeah, then it gets, you know, I'm a minimalist, right? I just want to, you know, it's like a circle. Think about a circle, Dave. If you added anything, it ruins it. If you take anything away, it ruins it.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.